Scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and chapters 25 through 30. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A while back, I had one of life's uncomfortable moments. And I think when I say that, you know what I mean. You know, you're in a business meeting, and you're making a presentation, and it seems to be going well, and people are making eye contact, and you see a couple of heads nodding, and afterwards somebody slaps you on the back and says, good job, and then you go to the bathroom, and while you're washing your hands, you look up into the mirror, and you see a half-eaten piece of green vegetable sticking right between the front two teeth in your mouth. It's one of life's uncomfortable moments. I had one of these, and it happened in all places in the grocery store. I remember I was standing in the cereal aisle. I was trying to make that eternally difficult choice between Cap'n Crunch and Frosted Flakes. And the friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a while came walking down the aisle. And when he saw me, he said, hey, Tim, hey, stocking up the cabinets, huh? And I said, yeah, you too? And he said, yeah, I'm just picking up a few things. But boy, I'm glad I ran into you because I'm telling you, I cannot wait until Friday night. And of course, I looked at him and I said, well, what's Friday night? And he said, get out of here. You know, it's Jim's party. I mean, we're at this party and he's moving to Florida with his family and everybody's going to be there to see them off. And you know what? I just heard this week that we're going to roast him. So we're going to give him a grand send-off. And he's got this big smile on his face. He just looks at me for about 5 seconds. It took about 5 seconds for the smile to fade from his face because we realized at the same time that I had not been invited to Jim's party. And the fact of the matter is I didn't even know about Jim's party. And I know this is going to sound like sour grapes when I say it, but I didn't even want to go to Jim's party. But I wanted to be invited. I wanted to be invited. It's one of life's uncomfortable moments. That's happened to you, I'm sure it has. When you're in conversation with somebody and they tell you, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to Mark's party this weekend, and or Joan's having us over for dinner, and other people are coming, and you're thinking, what am I? Chopped liver? It hurts. You get that feeling when you're not on the list, but you can't go to all the world's parties. It bothers you. Regrettably, it sometimes happens in the church. Sometimes even in the church, the one place where you would think it would never happen, you're not on the invitation list. You have not been invited to whatever and whoever it is. And you've all experienced that too in your time in the church. And if you've ever experienced it and you've said, you know, the church sometimes just gets divided up into us and them, and I'm not a part of that group. If you've ever experienced that, I just want to let you know this morning that it's not something that's new in the church. Because the church is made up of human beings. It started all the way back there in the first century church. Paul tells about it in Galatians chapter 2. Paul says, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to confront him publicly, speaking sternly about him because of what he had done, because it was very wrong. When Peter first came, he sat down and he ate with the Gentile Christians. But then some Jewish friends of James came along, and he stood up and went over to eat with them and did not eat with the Gentile Christians anymore because he was afraid of what the Jewish legalists would say. And then all the other Christians there, including Barnabas, for goodness sakes, they got up and became hypocrites by following Peter's example, even though they knew better. Right back there at the beginning, and Paul says, I took him to task to say, hey, it's not splitting into groups here. It's not, you're invited, you're not. It's together. And that's why I love this passage that Kara just read, Matthew 11, especially verses 28 to 30. And when you heard them, maybe you resonated with them too. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. But notice that invitation is just for a specific group of people. Jesus is only inviting people who are weary and who are burdened. So if that's not you, you can't come. But the good news is, of the 7.2 billion people who are alive on the planet right now, about 7.2 billion of them feel weary and burdened. So this is a universal invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, some of the burdens people are laboring under on this planet are life-threatening. So when those people hear these words, it must mean something to them. There are 80% of the world's population lives on less than $10 a day. Over a billion people in the world lack clean and potable water. 26,000 children die every day because of conditions due to poverty. And 56 million people at this point on this planet have been displaced from their home or their homelands because of war. So when they read this passage, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest if you're weary, they must celebrate. There's no doubt the invitation is given to those people because Jesus, when he was here, spent a lot of time with at least the last and the lost, the oppressed, and those who had life-threatening needs. But I said the invitation's for everybody. So you don't have to have a life-threatening issue to feel weary or burdened. You just have to have sometimes a lifestyle that makes you kind of crazy sometimes. When you sit here in church and you go over your day timer or you're looking through your phone and saying, I know I have an appointment Wednesday at 2 p.m., but I just can't remember who's it with. The Utney Reader is a magazine that does topical issues. And about 3 or 4 years ago, they did a topical issue on our harried lifestyle. And the editor at the beginning of the magazine wrote this. He said, I have always moved at a fast pace. I don't like small talk. I don't like standing in lines. I don't like slow dances on the dance floor. I like moving fast, but sometimes I feel like there is so many activities crammed into my daily life that I'm running an Olympic event, the everyday-a-thon. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we feel like that. And there's no brake on the car that we're driving. It's just faster and faster. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Sometimes we feel weary and burdened because we're trying to get some things or we're trying to keep what we have. when you're 40 years old, here's how much you should have saved for retirement. At this point, you should be thinking about buying a house. Have you saved for your kids' college education? Maybe you're retired. Have you figured out, are you going to have enough money left, or are you going to have too much life left and no money? We're thinking about what we have or what we don't have, how to get it. It creates burdens. It makes us weary. Bruce Larson, who's a Presbyterian pastor, wrote a book. He tells this story about how he went out one day and bought a hummingbird feeder for his backyard and had four little feeding stations around it. He put it out on a tree. You could see it right through the kitchen window. And word spread quickly through the hummingbird community. It didn't take very long. There were just hummingbirds everywhere at that feeder. He had the thing filled up with seed, and he said it was so busy the first week or two that he actually had to refill it every day. And then he started to notice that it was getting less and less busy. In fact, he was now only filling it once a week. So he wondered what was going on. He sat at the kitchen window watching for a while, and he noticed throughout the day that there was one particular hummingbird who would come and feed, look around, and then go to a tree adjoining the hummingbird feeder. And whenever another hummingbird would come and try to feed at the station, he would chase it away. And he did this all day. And Bruce Larson said, I looked at a little hummingbird and I thought, this is one stressed out bird. Here he is trying to protect what is his. He said, that hummingbird taught me an important lesson. By claiming this property as his own, he gave up his freedom. He became weary trying to hold on to what he had. When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. And if there's a more comforting passage in the New Testament, I don't know what it might be. Anybody who comes to church on any given Sunday morning can resonate with that. The one who says that he will take on the sins of the world unto himself also says, I'll take all your burdens. Just let them go. That's an invitation we'll all accept. Now, assume you get that invitation in the mail. The one thing you should know is that if you get an invitation, you don't just read page one if there's two pages. You read, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. But wait, there's more on the other side. Jesus then says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. And I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So are you getting this? Because it's a little confusing. Jesus says, on this hand, you come on over here, and you just lay down your burdens and put them right here. I'll give you rest. Are you rested? Are you feeling good? Great. Now come over here and pick up these burdens and walk with me. So what are we doing here? Just exchanging one load for another load? Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. You know what a yoke is? It's not the inside of an egg. A yoke is something like this, because most of us aren't farmers. We've never seen it. It's a crossbeam that has two U-shaped parts to it where the cattle or the oxen or the mules are harnessed in there. It's a frame that rests on the shoulders with an equal load on each end of the frame so that you're conveying this load together. You're carrying it together. Take my yoke upon you, and I'll give you rest. How can we be restful when we have these burdens on us? Well, two reasons. First of all, because we're not carrying it alone. We're yoking up with Jesus. And secondly, there is a difference between burdens. Those burdens and those things that make us weary, and those are the things we worry about. Jesus addressed them earlier in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 6. But this is a different kind of burden. This is a working for the kingdom. I'll try to explain it to you this way. Have you ever come home at night because you've been doing something? It doesn't have to be physical, but it might be. But it's something that's just gotten you so weary that you are what we would call bone tired. Have you ever dropped into bed at night and you just said, I'm bone tired? And when you blink, your eyelids hurt. I mean, just everything. Everything feels uncomfortable. And it feels terrible. You're just wiped out. But have you ever dropped into bed at night, bone tired, and yet it was a good feeling? You know what I mean? It was a feeling that I did something that mattered today. That maybe I did something for the kingdom, that I moved somebody, I moved something, I was part of something greater than myself. That's the difference between the burdens Jesus asks us to lay down and the burdens he asks us to pick up, to be a part of something greater than ourselves, part of kingdom work. And this, he says, is a kind of burden that will give us rest. We'll drop into bed and we'll say to ourselves, this is important. This feels good. So think of both parts of this invitation today. Think about how Jesus wants us to focus on the majors and not major on the minors. Where sometimes when we get involved with all we're involved with, we forget in 100 years it won't be important. But then he asks us to come over here and pick up his burden, his yoke, and involve ourselves in kingdom work, which is going to last for an eternity. Remember that song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"? Well, there's a great story that William Willimon tells in one of his sermons about a tribe of Indians that lived in Mississippi long ago. And they lived by a river. It was mostly rapids. It was a very strong current. In fact, nobody had ever been able to swim to the other side. Evidently, every once in a while, one of the Indians would fall in and they would try to struggle to get back or cross over, but they were swept downstream and drowned. One day, an opposing tribe came and engaged them in tribal warfare. And they were fighting, and they soon found that they had their backs right up against the river. And the leaders understood that it was either fight to the death or take their chances with the river. So what they did was they got the oldest and the youngest in the tribe together. And then they took the strongest and they put the weakest on their shoulders. They said, there's no way the youngest and the oldest are going to make it across there. If we're going to make it across, we're going to have to do it together. And it seemed crazy because one person couldn't make it. How could two? But they loaded up. They had no choice. And they stepped into the river, and something amazing happened. What happened was the load on the shoulders of the strong actually anchored their feet and allowed them to keep their balance so that as they walked across the river, they were not swept away downstream. And they made it to the other side. The burdens they were carrying literally saved their lives and saved the lives of other people. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find it meaningful work. In fact, when we take Jesus' burden upon ourselves, we may discover the real reason for which we were created. Let's pray together. God of us all, as we come to the table, we remember that you gave us a commission very similar to your own, to go out into all the world, to empty ourselves, to pick up our cross. And so we recommit ourselves as we unburden ourselves in worship this morning. We slip into the yoke beside you. And together we work for the kingdom. In your name.